and then get boosted.
Where the fuck you going, Loco? Get back here.
He's getting a weight.
Weight.
Pump you up.
All right.
He was doing some rage lifting earlier with his legs.
I can't.
He was doing some leg pumps.
All right. My fucking arms are killing me. All right.
Serenity now.
Serenity now!
What is up, everybody? Pinheads of Horror, episode 4. Can't believe we've done 4 of these fucking episodes already.
Woo!
We started in...
August.
August, yeah. Fuck, August. Man. August when the 4 of us sat in a room together and just threw shit at a wall to see what would stick. And we've gotten 4 episodes out of it, and plus we're going to have segments pretty soon. I have a segment called Don't Answer the Phone, where I talk to other podcasters and... people who are fans of the horror genre, just to see what they're interested in.
I like that, by the way.
Thank you, Luco. I'm sorry, Luco is lifting weights.
God, he's looking buff. It's like that
scene from Anchorman.
I don't know if you heard, but I did over 1,000.
I don't know if you heard me counting.
Regular regimen.
Woo!
Just getting pumped.
I'm getting tired just watching him. Whoa.
All right.
Come on.
So... we want to welcome you, but we also want to welcome a brand new member. Over the past few weeks, we've had Miss Michelle Diaz hyphen Wolf.
Woo, that's me!
Hyphen. just sitting in because, you know, she's a good friend of ours. She talks horror with us. And, you know, over the past few episodes, she's been able to, I don't know, throw back as much shit as we throw at each other.
Poop.
So...
I got my share of poop on that wall, too, apparently.
So, everybody, welcome. Michelle Diaz-Wolf.
What up, Michelle?
Yay! Thank you, guys.
And what's cool is that now we have a female perspective on slasher horror movies.
And it's not so much of an audio sausage fest anymore.
Yeah. Not just a bunch of swinging dicks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's usually a problem. I gotta watch out where I walk.
That's usually Luco's territory.
Dicks!
Oh. Swinging dicks.
Careful for all the dick.
How the fuck's everyone doing?
Good.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
Doing great.
Halloween time.
Yes, Halloween is right around the fucking corner.
So, and it's Back to the Future Day. Let's just take
yes, it is.
It's not horror, but we're recording on that.
You either walked, you either tried to skateboard over water today, or did the biff and call everyone a butthead. You know,
yeah.
That's what
or
you
I just
today.
Ended up in a pile of manure since we keep talking about poop.
Find a cover of Ooh La La somewhere when you're looking for...
We're talking about too many dicks and poop jokes here. That's
what
we talked about so far.
What the fuck is wrong with that?
What
the fuck is wrong with that?
We're making too many dick and poop jokes. I don't know what's happening.
Is Larry,
she doesn't put it on record.
Is Larry our bar for what's too far? Is
what fucking world am I living in?
Too much poop.
You remember the wristwatch, Larry? The fruit basket? I remember those things.
All right.
See, we're getting
All right. So, getting into it. Bit of good news, bit of bad news. Good news, they announced the Friday the 13th video game. Last week, I believe I saw the Kickstarter page for it.
Woohoo!
It's going to basically be a 1-on-7. Jason being the one and 7 being the camp counselors. Each have, you know, special skills, abilities. And they're going to take on Jason. And I don't think it's going to end well for the counselors. So,
oh, no!
No.
And the Kickstarter, what were they looking to raise? Do you remember?
Not off the top of my head, but I can look it up.
And we can then post it on Pinhead's Facebook page.
And then you can help them raise the money.
So we can play the video
games. We can play video games.
I can watch you guys.
Yeah, you suck at games.
Has anyone played the old one?
From Nintendo?
Yeah, I like to forget that.
It's pretty terrible.
It's horrible.
Jason was purple.
Bob, our guest, will... agree with me. It's pretty awesome.
The old one?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, I feel like Bob would say everything is
it,
great right
now. Is it like the final boss fight with Jason? Isn't that like Mike Tyson's Punch Out or something? Like the
same?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay, maybe it is an awesome game.
Just saying.
All right. What's the bad news?
So the bad news?
Bad news is the new Friday the 13th movie is going to be delayed by about a year. Or two. Whoa. No, a year. Sorry. It was supposed to come out in 2016. They pushed it to 2017. I didn't get an exact date. But the reason was they needed... they had to hire a new writing staff, apparently. So,
holy crap.
Yeah, that's...
How far did they get into it so far? I mean, they haven't done any shooting or anything. It's all just...
No.
Script.
Yeah, it's basically... It was probably in, like, the rough draft process, maybe. I mean, I don't work with them. I don't know. So
Come on, Ed!
If I had to guess, I would say...
Give me the deets, bro! Yeah.
Come on, I need information!
What are you hiding under all those tables for?
It's alright, you can tell me. I'm a voluntary firefighter.
That's why you're lifting weights?
So I'm lifting weights.
He's gotta keep... Oh, yeah! Pump it!
Training 24-7.
So I like how the good news and the bad news both relate to Friday the 13th. So we got another year for another Friday the 13th flick.
And Friday the 13th is next month. Anyone?
And this is going to be the 13th Friday the 13th flick, so it's got to be super awesome.
Super 13.
Super 13. They should make it 3D.
I was just going to say that.
With the old school 3D glasses in the theater.
Oh, shit.
Well, you know what? On the subject of that... I also saw the trailer for the new Paranormal Activity movie. I don't know if it's I just don't watch a lot of TV anymore or if they're airing all these late, but it comes out Friday. And apparently it's going to be in like a ghost dimension.
Ghost movie. 3D!
I don't know what it's called, but apparently, you know, the preview I saw, people were all wearing glasses, like the 3D glasses, and it's just...
What?
Well, maybe they have eye visual problems. You don't know. But no,
everybody in the fucking theater.
Thoughts on the actual trailer? I mean, I saw the trailer, too.
I saw the trailer as well.
And it looks sweet, and I totally want to see it. And isn't this the last one? Isn't this the final one?
Yeah, it is going to be the final one.
The final chapter.
Thank God! Thank you!
And they release who the demon is, right? Isn't that supposed to be...
I guess you're going to learn the origins of the demon. I'll be honest, the only one I really liked was the first one and the third one. Those were the only two I really
liked.
Which
one was the third one? Is that the marked ones
That's
or whatever?
No.
Oh, the marked ones was terrible.
The third
pretty fucking bad.
The third one was the one
hate ghost movies, too.
The third one was the one that took place in the 80s.
That's the prequel-y one.
Yeah, and they had some really cool effects in it, and I enjoyed it. But, I don't know, this is going to be
They're like little girls in that one.
Yeah, that's the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and I really like the chick from the first one, the one that ended up, you know, if you haven't seen that movie, come on. But she's got some monster titties.
She does, and she's wearing white beard.
Well, yeah. Katie.
Show them.
That's her name.
Katie
and her big ass titties.
Katie's got some big ass titties.
So at least when you poops titties. The tits, I think it's a progressional...
That's a boost right there.
Yeah!
There we go.
My husband just pulled out some titties.
Just pumping iron.
This is why we're married. Woo! Here we go, pumping some more iron.
All right, you know what? Since we're on the subject of tits, I think we're going to go a little out of sequence tonight. Let's get this out of the way.
Oh, man.
Because it's just
going to talking about tits.
Yes.
Yes!
It's
going to
be distracting later. All right.
Just like tits.
I don't know anything about that.
I'm going to do two takes of this because this one might be a little rough.
Can I burp first?
Yes. Okay. So, being as how October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Keep the tata safe.
You know, women always got it kind of rough in horror. You know, they always got it worse by the killer. But in the end, they were always the strong ones. So,
Not all of them.
Not all of them.
But there was that one survivor girl who made it to the end.
Or she ended up being the killer in the first place.
Or she ended up having a dick.
Or she had a dick.
So, we're going to go...
Awkward pause.
That's where it should end.
We got it.
So we're going to go around the room and we're going to talk about some of our favorite scream queens of horror. Michelle, go first.
So, my favorite horror queen, who doesn't actually make it, but is what I love to dub as the bitch who wants to live. And that would be Sarah Michelle Gellar in I Know What You Did Last Summer. Because that is the epitome of doing everything you would think is right to get out of it. And then that part where she's right 5 feet away from that crowd of people. And you're like, she's gonna make it. She's gonna make it. And then she doesn't. And it's so painful to watch. And I just saw it again today, and it just brought a sting to my heart. But she's one of my favorite. And she's not really the scream queen, but that's where I always think about when I'm in a movie, who's going to be the bitch who wants to live, and that's where I get that from.
She's also in The Grudge or whatever.
Yeah, she's kind of pathetic in that one.
But who's, like, your favorite? Like, I mean, if you're, like, of all your, like, I don't know, horror movies, like, is she, like...
That's it. When I look at horror, this is the babe I want to see starring as my scream queen.
Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver.
Weaver.
Wieners. Sigourney Weaver. Obviously, Aliens. Alien. Boom. She's, that is the epitome of the badass woman who, in a horror movie, and that's a terrifying movie, and she just is so amazing. And the fact that she does half of that in her underwear, it's kind of impressive as well.
It's awesome.
Yes.
Get your shit done.
All right, Pindy, give us your pick.
I'm going to say is my favorite scream queen is Danielle Harris.
Boom.
Nice.
Good pick.
Absolutely. I would say, especially, I mean, if you go back to, what is it? Is it Halloween 4 when she, like, first started in horror?
Yep.
And then, like, even now, like, I mean, she was in Hatchet, which I loved all those movies.
And she's a babe.
Oh, my God.
She grew up to a hottie.
She's in the new Halloween movies, which, again, I'm not, like, a huge fan of them, but she's fucking awesome.
And she shows her titties finally. I was like, yes!
Those are the best. The titties you wait for.
You're like, oh, I remember when you were 9 years old, and now I'm seeing your boobs, but it's legal, and now you're hot, and it's okay.
Yep.
That was a little weird. I felt a little weird, but at the same time, I was like, yes, because she's so hot now. And legal of age, and it's not weird
anymore. And it really wants me to make me think that, like, she's probably cool and hot and in horror movies. So, you know.
Maybe got a chance.
She's my scream queen.
Boom.
That is a very, very solid pick, Pindy.
She's
your cream queen.
She's up there, too.
All right, Larry?
Oh, my pick is Linnea Quigley. She is...
High five.
Everyone says that Jamie Lee Curtis is the queen, but Linnea Quigley is still the queen and will always be the queen. She still does movies to this day. She's still absolutely beautiful. I met her a few years ago, and usually when I meet celebrities, I sweat all over them because I'm just a mess. And when I met her, I still sweat all over her, but she was really nice and so gracious, and it was just awesome to meet her finally. And I've been a big fan of hers since, like, Return of the Living Dead, Night of the Demons, damn it, what's that one, Demonoids or something from the Deep. I've been a huge, huge, huge fan of hers for a very long time, so that was an awesome treat.
Ooh, can I go next?
Yeah. Yes, Luke, go next.
Yes!
Are you gonna pump?
I picked Adrienne Barbeau. With her Adrian Barr boobies. She's an Adrian Barr babe. I love her. She's she can play that, you know, that innocent babe, and she can play that badass babe. And, like, in The Fog, she's a fucking badass, you know, and in Return of the Swamp Thing, she's, you know, just like the innocent babe. And you see her titties in that flick, which is sweet. And she's always got the cleavage going, it's rocking, and in Creepshow, she was that annoying bitch, and you're like, I just want to bang her and just shut her up. But yeah, Adrienne Barbeau, and she's still hot, and I'd still let her break my dick. So,
not to be mistaken with Barbara Hershey, as we've already corrected.
Our Adrienne Barbeau.
Yes.
With her Adrienne Barbeau boobs.
She was just in a movie I saw, too, The Tales of Halloween.
So she's still doing horror flicks, too.
Yeah, she's in
there. I think that most of those chicks will always do horror movies. Like, and I'm not trying to bring it back to Barbara Hershey, but she was also in Insidious and stuff like that. And, like, I think that there's always going to be a love affair or an appreciation for the women that were in these classics, and there will always be a home for them in horror movies.
And, I mean, come on, Adrienne Barbeau and Cannonball Run was like,
oh, yeah.
What is she wearing? Yes!
How many are you
going to have? Last but not least.
I'm going to have two.
Ooh. A twofer.
Why do you get two?
You guys get to pick two also.
I don't need
okay,
two.
Okay, fine.
Matt's putting down the wagging finger.
So who's your one and who's your honorable mention?
I'm going to have to say Catherine Isabel. Catherine Isabel was in Ginger Snaps, like, the entire trilogy.
She is hot.
She's a babe.
She was Kip in Freddy vs. Jason. Yes, we cannot forget. Part two of Ginger Snaps. My God. That is the hottest fucking scene.
That is a fucking great scene.
There's a scene where a group of girls are doing yoga together, and then all of a sudden, it just turns into them just fucking
learning their inner feelings.
They get in touch with themselves in more ways than one.
It's really just one way.
Each other's bodies.
It's probably
what we're doing right now.
Except not as hot.
You know?
I'm not comfortable with this conversation anymore. But no, that's a great scene.
So honorable mentions. I want you guys all to pick one honorable mention. I'm going to go first. I'm going to say my honorable mention is a lovely actress named Jordan Ladd. Jordan Ladd was in Cabin Fever, and she was in Club Dread. And in Club Dread, she showed the MacGuffs.
The MacGuffs? She was also in Hostel Part Deuce.
Well, I'll get to...
Which one is she? Was she the blonde?
In Club Dread?
There we go.
Yeah.
She's the babe.
Okay.
You know she's a twin, right?
Jordan, she was a Penelope.
Penelope.
Oh, no, that's what I was thinking about. Penelope.
That's so good.
She's a gymnastics.
So are you going back around the circle? Who's next?
Yeah, Luca.
All right, I'm going to go with...
Adrian Barbeau's twin sister.
Fabrian Barbeau. I'm going to go with Scout Taylor Compton, the babe from the newer Halloween movies. I like her with the glasses. I don't know. I wear glasses, so, you know.
We got something to
glasses, and she's a babe, and... Yeah, I mean, in the second one, she kind of played a crackhead, but, I mean, she's babe.
Oh, yeah.
Just babage. Larry?
I gotta pick another one from the 80s.
Ooh.
Brink Stevens. She, tons and tons of movies. And she's actually featured predominantly in this documentary called Screaming in High Heels. And it's about scream queens of the 80s. And she actually talks about how she had a stalker in real life. So... And they go in depth about that, but you should really check that DVD out. It's real short, maybe 60 minutes. It's called Screaming in High Heels.
And let's not forget Scream Queen Hot Tub Party that she was in.
she's in Slumber Party Massacre.
Nice.
That was one of her first ones. So yeah, check her out. She still does movies to this day also.
For my honorable mention, I would like to actually say that she is a scream queen in the making, and she's already got a pretty hefty list on her book of things she's done, and that's Chloe Grace Moretz. She was in
Carrie.
She's the remake of Carrie, the remake of Let the Right One In, and
the remake of Amityville Horror.
Amityville.
All remakes.
She's one of those girls, she's 16, I think, but she has the ability to portray and be creepy and oddly beautiful, and I think that she's going to have an amazing career moving forward in films, regardless of what it is. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I like her. She's cool. I heard she's bullied at school. It's like, these kids stupid?
Yeah, I hit on her all day.
Did they not see Carrie?
Yeah.
Did they not see Kick-Ass?
Yeah. I would hit on her all day and, you know, going out with a hot babe and then be like, let's see some of that money you're buying everything. Boom, done. Movie star lifestyle.
My honorable mention, just because I was looking up the hottest scream queens, and just because she's super hot, Jennifer Aniston, Leprechaun.
Oh,
oh my God, I just saw the thing
that one
today too.
All right, I'll accept
Jennifer
it.
Aniston pre-nose job.
you know? I'll take it, just because it's Jennifer Aniston and she's a fucking babe.
Isn't that the only horror movie she was in?
Probably.
You know what? A lot of A-listers got their starts in horror movies. Like, yeah. George Clooney was
Brad
in...
Brad Pitt. Return to Horror High.
Johnny Depp.
And Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, too.
Yeah.
Eliza Dushku is in...
Long-term movies?
Oh, yeah.
She's another one, too, man. Fuck.
Yeah.
God damn.
There's a whole bunch of them.
I mean, yeah, there's...
Halle Berry was in a fucking horror movie.
Gothica?
Yeah.
Well, that's because when you are trying to be an actor and you
want to mix it up.
Well, no, because not too many people are going to hire, but, you know, B horror movie, you know, will take you and you will probably get paid in Slurpees and, you know, well, yeah. Fucking...
Gothica was a big release when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gothica was a big...
I watched it because Halle Berry was in it and she didn't even
show I liked it because Penelope was in it.
Penelope.
Okay, so everyone got a little homework these last few weeks. We have a debate in the works here. It is involving the Dead trilogy. That is Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, and Day of the Dead. I asked everyone to pick which one they like the most or they think is superior to the other ones. So I'm dying to find out who picked what. And I'm going to start with our newest member over here, Michelle.
It's a hard one because those are all really good and it wasn't as easy for me to pick as the Evil Dead ones. But I always come back to the same film and I think that would have to be Dawn of the Dead.
Why?
I think the reason why Dawn of the Dead is my favorite one is... The idea of going to a mall and the security there and thinking... Because that's something I think I would have done, but then the almost form of isolation of being in some place like that. And then the entrapment of itself, and then just the part where the zombies come in, and it's almost like they're trying to... It's the only time that it seems like they still have remnants of themselves...
So yeah, you still think there's part human in them.
Yeah.
That's what scares you the
most.
That's
what's terrifying about,
it.
Right.
Luco, which one did you pick?
I'm going with the original.
OG, Night of the Living Dead.
OG.
I didn't really, you know, you said Day of the Dead, right? What was the other one?
Yeah, Day, yeah. Night, and Dawn.
I wasn't a big fan of Day of the Dead. It was like, meh. And, you know, Dawn of the Dead is obviously a classic, but, you know, gotta go with the original. It set the tone and it created a zombie genre. That movie itself created a zombie genre, as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, well, that's what I mean. Pretty much this whole discussion is about. George Romero just who made the zombie of what it is today. Ed,
for me, this is a tough one, man, because coming from a mall background, like a security background in a mall, I have to say Dawn of the Dead, but Day of the Dead. I actually enjoyed more.
Wow, I'm surprised.
I enjoyed Day of the Dead more because it kind of showed, like, people's fucking mental makeup after, you know, the outbreak and...
Postpartum and everything?
Yeah, like the isolation of being, you know...
The last people.
Yeah, the last people trapped underground, like they're going out through Florida and not finding anything. You know,
hello.
So that one is my favorite, and also has probably some of the greatest special effects, like makeup wise, with you know people getting ripped apart and shit.
Right.
Not to take anything away from you know Dawn of the Dead because that had some pretty good scenes too.
Oh yeah.
So you're gonna go with Day of the Dead as. That movie featured Nick Cannon. Come on, man. That immediately scratches that movie
off. That's part two you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
That's the remake. You're talking about that.
Gosh darn, get it together.
Wait, look at the wrong one then.
All right, so hold on. Wait a second. So you haven't seen the original Day of the Dead?
Let me see. I just got to look at the cover right quick.
Wait.
Day of the... Oh, I just had it.
Day of the Dead's the one with Bub.
Bub the Zombies and...
Were they trying... Oh, you would know if you saw it. He could be taught.
Oh, yeah, when they're in the underground. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still going to go with the original. And the remake of Day of the Dead featured Nick Cannon.
Oops. I hope you choke on it.
It also featured Ving Rhames too, but you know. Yeah, was...
Well, Ving Rhames is just badass.
Alright, Pindy, what did you pick?
Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead.
I was gonna say it's 2-1-1. I even like the remake. I don't know. Like, the original was awesome.
What's your favorite part? Of Dawn of the Dead. I mean, what part stuck out to you that made you love this movie? There's any single part or just feeling.
Really all of it. Like, I mean, I like the whole, like, trying, like, the glimpse of hope that there's, the guy across the way. Yeah. Who's, like...
Oh, you're talking about the remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're not talking about that one. No. Okay. We're talking about
I still like that one, though, too.
But which one do you like more-ish?
As far as the remake or the original?
No, no, just the original trilogy.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Fine Night.
Night of the Living Dead, the original?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I love the ending. I just like how when they're all trapped in the house and shit, and... everything's going down, and, like, he changes. Oh, God, it's so good.
Wait, are you talking about the remake
of Night of the Living
Dead? Oh, my God! I mean, seriously? With Tony Todd?
Oh, my God!
Wait, no, it's not Tony Todd.
Yeah, it's Tony Todd.
Tony Todd's the one in the remake?
Yeah, Tony Todd's the... What? Tom Savini is the director.
Because
the
difference...
The first one's in black and white. Does that help?
Yeah,
white?
No.
And what was cool about that one and the remake is that they changed the ending.
Yeah.
And the
so that was cool.
And all that crap.
Oh, and the guy was...
The black and white one, right?
Yeah.
All right, so you pick... All right.
They're coming for you, Barbara.
Apparently, we need to do more research on our homework.
Yeah.
What about... At least I was the only one confused with this. All right.
Larry, when I said Dawn of the Dead, I meant the first one.
Yeah, I got you. I got you on that one. I guess it's my pick, and I have to pick Dawn of the Dead.
The first one?
The original one,
yeah. That came out. That, I think, is the grandfather of all zombie movies. It has some of the best gore effects that Tom Savini ever did. I like how these zombies aren't rotting just yet. It's new still, and they're all fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting kind of... I love The Walking Dead. But they constantly have these dried-out zombies, and I like them a little more fresh, because that means they were just human not too long ago. And there's also this sense of hope, possibly, that they can survive there, but in their heads, that they know that this isn't going to last forever here in the mall. And sooner or later, things are going to catch up to them, and it's not going to end well. Yeah, and they pretty much all know that.
I think you could say for any movie like that, it never is going to end well. Look at the original ending of the first Night of the Living Dead. You know, Barbara finally breaks and is, you know, caught up in the swarm that busts through the house.
And she was the leading lady, too.
Yeah. And Ben was shot and killed when they thought he was a zombie. So... You know, no matter what you watch or read, you know, when shit hits the fan like that, it's never going to end well. There's only one way it could end.
Going back to the race thing?
Yeah. We'll see that.
It was a different time, Loco.
It was a different time, so they may have shot him.
Well, the thing is that there was a lot of interesting things that happened with that movie, because it was also not just a horror movie, but in a sense it was a movie that was about what was going on with certain political and views and things like that, but done in a zombie sense. So, you know, with the part where you see them shooting the zombies and being like game trophy, and there's an undertone to that first one and stuff like that. But to segue a little bit to the side, Larry, since you said you like your zombies fresh, does that mean that you enjoyed Fear of the Walking Dead?
That's why I enjoyed Fear of the Walking Dead a bit more, because they were nice and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
They're still closer to human than they will be later on. So what we have here is a 2-2 tie with Day of the Dead on the outs. So if you were to pick between... Night and Dawn.
There's your 2-2 tie right there.
What would you,
I'm flipping them all off.
What would you pick between Night and Dawn?
It's like you're asking me to pick children here.
Good thing you don't
which,
have any.
Which one to save, which one not to save. You know what? I'm going to have to go Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, nice. Buddy! Winner.
There are so many memorable scenes to me in Dawn of the Dead. Like, my favorite being the helicopter scalping.
That is my favorite scene.
You know, one scene that always stuck out with me was when the bikers show up to the mall. You know, that's when the movie really, like, kicks it up, like, graphically.
Well, I think you could say you're put into a sense of calm in that movie through the middle part when they get everything cleared out and they're just sitting there, and then this happens.
The form of normality that they're starting to do.
All right, you know, when working at the mall that I worked at and doing security, when we were bored, we would talk about shit like that. We would say, all right, if that ever happened, we would be okay. Because, yeah, the mall's not securable from any entrance on the outside, but we could hide underground. We could come up and forage for food. There's a market right here. There's a restaurant right here all by us. So that was just how we passed the time. But, I mean, when you're bored like that, you think of stupid shit like that.
Dawn wins it.
Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn!
Dawn of the Dead wins it here. And that settles that. Alright, so this week we are picking our favorite deaths in the Final Destination series, numbers 1 through 6. If you don't know about these movies, it pretty much is the Grim Reaper is going to come and get you if you happen to survive death.
Predestined death.
Predestined death is going to happen no matter what. There's no way you can possibly survive.
And they have premonitions, and it saves them.
Well, not all of them have premonitions. There's one chosen.
One chosen has a premonition, saves a group of friends, and slowly the Grim Reaper starts taking them out.
They all have premonitions. It's if they're smart enough to
find the signs.
Yeah, like Final Destination 2, the guy who got impaled in the eye on the refrigerator, the magnets are EYE. Like on the side. And you see it.
All right, so I'm going to start off with my favorite here. It is from...
I didn't get laid in high school. What do you think I did?
I'm just sitting here. Judging.
No.
Judging. Okay, I'm going to go first. Mine is from Final Destination 5. The one where the guy gets his asshole sucked out in the pool.
Ooh!
Ooh! And it's... he gets sucked down to the drain of the pool because a quarter ends up getting stuck in the pipe.
Leave it to Larry to go with the butt stuff.
I'm usual boob stuff, but this time I'll go butts. And he gets sucked to the bottom of the pool, and he can't breathe anymore, and it's just sucking so hard. And just so happens he landed on his butt. And it just ends up sucking so hard it sucks his whole butt out, and you could see his ribs break and his back break because of that happening. That was my favorite from all of these movies.
Wasn't that one also in 3D?
Yeah, I believe so.
Weren't like half of them in 3D?
Yeah, half of them were in 3D.
The butt stuff.
I feel like everything after the third one was in 3D. Maybe.
Ed, which one's yours?
Final Destination 2. I'm going to go with the plexiglass crush.
That was my honorable mention.
That was a good one.
That is such a brutal scene. And the fact that, you know, again, one of the horror rules is, you know...
Kids
were off limits. Not in this fucking movie. God, that kid got fucking obliterated.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a good one.
And you know what's even fucked up is... You've heard stories of, like, mirrors from, like, shopping or clothing stores, like, falling on people.
Every once in a while, yeah, you hear that.
So... Yeah, that would be mine. And that was just... And watching how they did it, too, was amazing. Like, they made a fake, basically, body of this kid that was collapsible. Like, and they just filled it with blood, and they just fucking smashed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my favorite. I'll give my honorable mention now. It's actually in number 2, also. It's in the premonition scene. I think his name is Evan... The guy who's driving the Firebird.
The guy who just won the lottery.
The guy who just won the lottery. He has a scene that's really, it just looks really agonizing. His car basically gets, like, ripped open from the top, and he's burning alive, and he's screaming, trying to take his seatbelt off. And it's, oh, fuck, man, that one always just stuck with me. That was just so goddamn.
And the truck annihilates him.
The truck annihilates
him. Hell truck is what they called it.
All right, Michelle, what do you have?
Obviously, Final Destination 2 is by far my favorite one because, like you said, there's so many great kill scenes, and I think they're so fantastic because they're so intricately done with, like, you know, real body, you know, doubles and things like that. But the log scene is definitely a great scene, and it's the part where the officer is driving on the freeway, and there's a logging truck, and one of the logs goes shooting right through his head, and it's awesome. And my honorable mention, since we're doing those now, is also from Final Destination 2. And it's the part where the drug user gets sliced in half with the fence. And he just kind of falls apart. And all his guts come out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I watched it earlier. It's like a, what is it, like a pressurized fucking...
Yeah.
It's a fence.
Can. It's a fence that gets...
Pushes him into the fence, though.
Oh, no. The fence comes shooting at him. Because
it's like a barbed wire fence that blows off whatever blew up.
It's a chain reaction effect because the girl who's in the car, her cigarette hits the gasoline. The gasoline makes it explode. The pressure
blows up.
And then it shoots across him. Yeah. And it happens so fast. And I think one of the reasons why I like that scene too is because right before he dies, he goes, "If I die next, can you please hide my porn and my drugs for when my mom comes to my house so she doesn't find them?" And I'm like, damn, that's a good point, man.
So the next scene, immediately after that, they're like, all right, we got to stop everything we're doing. We got to hide this dude's porn and drugs. I'm going to pick the douchiest one ever because I liked it the best because I thought this kid was a little douche. It's the fucking last scene. What was it in 2 where they're having that camp out or the barbecue?
Oh, yes.
And the kid blows up. It's like, fuck that kid. That was the douchey one. I had to go with that one because he's just such a little bitch.
And his hand lands on the mom's, like, plate. Like,
dinner, sir.
And your honorable mention?
I would go with the babe that drops that cigarette because her head gets impaled through that pipe. Just because she's a babe, obviously, and she's fucking hot in that TV show, Bates Motel, and it was just, like, out of nowhere. It was like, holy shit. All right, it caught me a little off guard, and I like that one.
She gives good head.
She gives good head. Can you keep it down? Yeah, I'll do my best or whatever.
Yes!
Yeah, I'll just set it on quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just set it on quiet.
You know, the funny thing about yours, Luco, is that is the most outlandish death, too. Because these people, like, literally just met at the scene of a tragedy, and now they're just sitting down having a fucking meal together. I just thought that was really weird. I'm really surprised none of you picked,
I haven't picked
yet. Oh, Indiana. I'm
sorry.
Fuck, man. Okay. Go ahead, Cindy.
My first one is going to be the gymnast death from the 5th one.
Backwards and broken.
Where she goes off like a high bar and just lands like straight on her face and bends backwards. Ugh. It's pretty brutal.
Bones blowing out the skin.
Yeah. Ugh. And then my honorable mention is from the 3rd one, the dude who's fucking pumping iron.
His
head gets crushed by the weights.
Luco, watch
out.
That's
not coming for me. And then he fucking gives a super pump and just blows everything up on the bench press or whatever the hell that crazy contraption was that he was rocking.
Yeah, look, I don't know how it wound up.
I don't know that.
It was, I don't
like,
think that's
one of these things.
And
the listeners, one of these things.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's when everything kind of starts just kind of go, fuck it. Because they're just like, let's just make it really gory. Let's not have really any sense of
You know these extra pieces that aren't actually on a weight machine, but we'll just throw extra pieces on there and that'll be the next death.
Crush his head.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boom,
and
done.
Everything's got a leak or an electrical wiring is shitty somewhere, you know, like...
Yeah, death, man.
That's death.
It's coming for you.
I'm really surprised because there was another one in 2 that really creeps a lot of people out. It's the mother and son when they're driving, the water bottle rolls right underneath her brake and they just slam into the fucking gas tank of a truck. I mean, their death is very quick, but God, just the fear of knowing I can't fucking stop because this goddamn water bottle.
And that, the thing is, that can really happen.
Yeah.
That's what scares me, because we've had shit roll around down there, and I'm like, oh, fuck, it's going to happen to me. I'm going to die.
I don't know. I thought the first one, I'm surprised the first one wasn't on there, because the first one, I don't know, they played it off a lot more simple than the other ones. Like, I feel like as the series went along, it became very outlandish.
There are more practical deaths in the first one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like,
the kid slipping in the bathroom and getting hung up by in his shower.
Because that looks like just a regular accident. It could happen to anybody.
Well, that's how they play it off in the first one. These are still
strangle baiting.
My son was caught strangle baiting.
He's giving himself a little MXS. Yeah.
Even the second one is more like realistic, I feel. It's not like cars at NASCAR blowing up and tires hitting.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like, I mean, I think there's like the ridiculous one where the truck rear ends the dude in like the drive through and it cuts up his fucking skull.
The engine flies
in. That was a fun death though. I enjoyed that.
That's a great death, but I'm saying it's not really over the top. You know how much force you'd have to hit that fucking car with?
To have that engine block.
For the engine
through.
To block. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Or about the lady who gets the fucking rock through the head because the hairspray is, like, pulled in by the air, like the curling iron. That one was a little elaborate to me. Like, that was ridiculous.
That was death.
That was death. That or, like, when you're getting acupuncture and Buddha falls on your head. Mm. That's death.
That's death.
Wa-da-da-da-da-da.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Rob Salem from The Forge, streaming 24/7 from the heart of Midwest hell at TheForgeRadio.com. The Forge brings you the best local, regional, national, and international signed, unsigned, and independent rock, metal, punk, hardcore, and more. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Forge Radio and listen on desktop, laptop, and mobile at TheForgeRadio.com. The Forge, where the mainstream meets the underground.
All right, our next segment, I know some people aren't going to like, but it
Fuck
is... some people already know what my pick is for this feature, but it's our picks for most overrated and underrated horror movies.
Start this bitch off. Let's
I'm not starting it off. I'm not going to start this one.
Nope, not it.
Because I don't want to feel the hate through the rest of everything that's going to go on. So I'm
Go ahead, start it.
I'm going to pick Pindy.
Nobody wants to do this.
I know why you
thought
to pick me.
Oh my god, see, this is terrible.
I can already imagine what your overrated one is going to be.
It's not going to be good. But, okay, if you want me to start off, I'll start off.
I think I'm going to agree with him, too.
My overrated pick is Halloween.
Yeah.
Cook!
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to say Friday the 13th.
Son of a bitch.
I'm glad Larry did it, because I didn't want to be the one to say it.
Yeah. That.
So why do you think it's so overrated?
Oh,
it's so iconic.
It is. It is an iconic movie, and it broke ground. But there are parts of it that are really boring in the beginning. I know they're trying to build up tension, but I just don't see it there.
Sorry, you're talking about the first one.
First Halloween, John Carpenter.
Not like the series, just
no,
like the first season.
The first one. I love John Carpenter. He's made some of the best movies ever.
I think
The Thing.
The Thing is my favorite.
I can go on for hours about his movies.
Yeah.
I think all the character development, I think the difference between Halloween and every other horror flick is that it had the best character development. It actually built up such a good story that, you know, you care for the, you know, the heroine, you know, throughout the flick, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Right, I agree. I agree with you guys. I still think it's overrated. There's scenes in there where it feels like the cameraman set his camera down and and took had a smoke break, then came back and was like, all right, let's finish this scene. But he never stopped filming.
What scenes?
There's scenes in the beginning where it's just very slow, and
where she's walking to school.
Yeah, there's a walking to school. Oh, here's this walking to school scene we love.
This is going to go on for quite
some
time.
It will. So let's.
We probably should just say the overrated and underrated, and then kind of like.
All right.
Luca's still kind of like.
He's kind of tense.
Still antsy.
I'm sorry.
All right, I'm gonna. Can everyone do their overrated? Then we'll do underrated.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
I would love to go next. I think overrated pretty much anything by Eli Roth. I don't think his movies are good. It's all just gore factor, and it's like, I'm just going to throw out the Hostel. Hostel, I thought,
fucking sucked. And everyone was like, oh, Hostel's so good. And I was like, no, that movie's... And Cabin Fever. I fucking hate those movies, too. They're terrible.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, Cabin Fever
was the
good.
Worst movie ever. Pancakes. He's doing karate kicks and stuff. It's like, this makes no fucking sense. Sorry, but Hostel 3, though, I thought was very good. I thought the first two, obviously, because I'm dumb and I still watch them. I thought the first two were absolutely terrible. The third one was fucking awesome. And all the Cabin Fever movies, I wouldn't even bother watching the rest of them. I fucking Pancakes. That's all I have to say. If you've seen that movie, Pancakes, and it doesn't make any goddamn sense. No movie. The movie doesn't make any sense. Fuck that movie. Overrated. Both those.
Wow, that's some passion.
Well,
woo! That's some passion. Right.
It's hard to follow that up. I'm not... Ed?
I got it. I got it. I want to say because, and we actually were talking about this off the break, the Saw fucking movies. We can't even tell the difference between them. Was that yours? I'm
just
sorry.
One giant blur.
It's just one big blur of fuck it. And then really, really, this was this pre-planned and I'll fucking suck my dick.
Come on, yeah.
You are the Fast and Furious of horror movies, my friend. Mm. That's what you are. And that's what I fucking think.
I don't, like, you guys have put some really good ones out there now. Like, I don't know where to go next.
Yeah, Luke stole mine.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And honestly, I really do agree with Larry on Halloween. I as much as, like, I do...
You are fucking crazy.
I know, just so we could go back to it with Luke some more. I like Michael Myers, don't get me wrong. He's very creepy
here.
And all that shit. Mm-hmm. But... I don't know.
That's the second greatest movie ever made.
Dude, I think
behind
it's
Predator. Come on.
Nah, I don't know. Like,
he's so angry.
His character is so vague compared to the other ones that, he's not nearly as creepy as people make him out to be. Just because he's, like, fucking all quiet and breathes heavy and shit.
I knew a guy like that, but he had asthma.
I don't know.
So, Penny, are you saying Halloween is yours, or...?
I'm not... Yeah, I guess I will, because everyone's... Yeah, fuck it. Saw sucks, Halloween sucks, they all suck.
Hostel-ish.
Hostel sucks,
Luco's
too.
Really,
yeah.
Like...
I never see but, Luco not happy.
But what part of Hostel were you just like, oh, fuck you? What was the one part?
It was the entire fucking movie. I mean... My biggest gripe with it was that movie is geared to people who just want to see... It's almost like your argument with Halloween. It's like there are just too many fucking boring shots that they're trying to build up to something that just never get to. I mean, Hostel introduced everyone to the whole... I hate this reference to torture porn, but, you know, Hostel was kind of following a trend, and it's... When I interviewed Johnny Krug, we were talking about this, and he actually made a counterpoint. He brought up the human trade that goes on in Europe, and it kind of changed my view, but then I'm like, no, because I spent my good money on that movie, and I was disappointed. I didn't like how they tried to make the main character, you know... Ah, fuck.
The douchebag?
Yeah.
Okay, the characters weren't likable.
No, they weren't. They were not likable.
But I think they're supposed to be assholes. I don't know.
That's part of it, too.
That's one of the problems with horror, though. You're supposed to get behind these characters, and you want them... You don't want them to fucking die. I don't know, but honestly, like, Luco stole a lot of thunder when he said Hostel.
Sorry, that one...
I know.
More Eli Roth, because I know, you know, with Green Inferno coming out, it's like, I'm going to go see it, but at the same time, I know it's going to be absolute
it
crap.
I've heard bad things.
Yeah.
They build Hostel to be, like, this frightening movie, and, you know, AMC had this special a few years ago. It was, like, the 50 scariest horror movie moments, and then that wasn't enough, so it's like, oh, here are 25 more. And Hostel was everyone's number one, and I'm like, why? There was nothing frightening in this movie.
Is it the eyeball scene?
The eyeball scene's fucking grotesque, I'll give you that.
It's just the gore factor.
But
and honestly, that's the movie that made me not like Eli Roth.
Yeah, me too.
Like,
me
that
too.
Made me kind of like, really? Like, that... Because I liked Cabin Fever. I don't know how you...
Same
did.
Here.
Wait, Eli
it's
Roth
fun
did Cabin Roth. Fever also?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I didn't even know that. I just thought that movie was crap. Pancakes, dude. Like, that scene makes no sense.
So
who's
nice.
This karate kid boy-girl thing? What is that? Is that a boy? Is it a girl?
He knows karate?
He's like a random why does he say pancakes?
What's going on?
You like to party?
Yeah, you like to party what?
Get some beers.
Pancakes.
So, fuck, we got a Mulholland Drive situation over here with Luco.
You sound like I feel about David Lynch.
Eli Roth, he's seriously sitting there and he's like, huh, what could I have this kid? He doesn't say anything through the whole movie. What? I could have him say pancakes. I'll have, yes. See, check this out. I have this kid, it looks like a boy and a girl, and he knows karate. And he says pancakes, and then he kills this guy.
I just like how passionate he is about Eli Roth,
terrible actor. Or,
and Halloween.
And how much we don't like Halloween.
I don't think he wants to come back after tonight.
I'm having a great time.
So now I'm interested to know, like, what movie you think is underrated.
Narrowing it down to one is pretty tough, but I'm going to say Your Next was very underrated.
I agree.
It wasn't your typical horror movie. I mean, they had this really cool plot that they could have gone one way with, but they went another way. And mid-movie, the whole, you know, plot was revealed. So I would say I don't know, and, you know, Your Next is just a really good throwback kind of movie to, like, the soundtrack.
It's like an 80s kind of throwback. Even how, like, the film is, too.
And it was just really entertaining, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very underrated. I'll throw an honorable mention out, too.
No more honorable mentions.
No. Stop it.
You just get one.
You shut up.
You just get one. I'm going to edit it out if you talk about it. All
right, Michelle.
I'll knock your head off your head.
All right, Michelle, what's your pick?
I think it's kind of like going along the same lines. Would You Rather, I believe is the name of the movie. Is that the one where they go to the dinner party?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's one. That is, I think that's a really great film of there. What is your price? Or, you know, how far a person can be pushed into a certain direction to, A, survive, or what will you do to change your life? And the ending is kind of such a bittersweet, like, oh, fuck. Okay. And that porn star, isn't it?
The porn star?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I'm so glad you said that because it is so related to your overrated movie.
Saw.
It's the same concept. What would you do to survive? Would you hack your hand off to survive?
But the thing is, this one's not this overly glorified, stylized, just clusterfuck of, like, you know, crazy rapid cameras and moving around forwards and this elaborate thing and a clown that comes out. It's all these people in a certain situation that are desperate or have their own reasons for it, and they are choosing to do this. And I guess I'm not going to say it's slower paced, but I feel it's a little bit more realistic, and I feel like people like us may find ourselves in a situation like that, and what kind of choice we would make in that, you know?
Okay.
And also Sasha Grey, you know, fucking goddamn.
Luco?
You're gonna have to come back to me. I'm
still steaming over there.
Still.
Can I say a director? Do I have to say a movie?
An underrated director?
Oh. Maybe that's a different
Eli Roth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah, I wanna hear it.
Adam Green, the guy who did Hatchet. Because, I mean, he also did Frozen, which I think Frozen is a really underrated movie. Again,
It's like Open Water, but in a sea lift.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually a great way to put it. even though, I mean, Open Water's a pretty creepy movie, too. Like,
yeah,
that one
is creepy.
See, I thought it was Dark Water. I'm thinking about a different one.
Like, I don't know. And again, I like that he has fun. Like, he did that, again, he did a TV show where it was him and another dude who was trying to, like, start, like, to make their own horror movie. And, yeah, like, Tony Todd was in it.
Tony Todd.
Odorous from Guar was in it and stuff. Like, I like that he has fun. Like, I mean, I think he's underrated.
He gets the joke, he gets the meaning of his movies.
But he knows when to be serious, too.
He knows when to be serious, and he knows how to play it up, because he's not trying to be a serious Well, he is a serious director. I'll say that, but he, like Frozen, not serious movies.
Frozen is pretty serious compared to like.
Well, he's not trying to be Martin Scorsese.
No.
I'm not saying. Yeah. Not even saying that. I'm just saying is that he has his own way of doing a film that's progressed. I think from Frozen, and he found his niche.
Absolutely,
and I like it.
No, I think he's great, and that's. I mean, like, I think he's again. You have people like Eli. That's what I mean. Like, you have people like Eli Roth who kind of take away a lot of that shit, where I think he releases a lot of stuff that's like straight to DVD.
Right, yeah.
Or you're gonna find that'll probably be on like Netflix.
Yeah. Like, I think that's even better than the theater.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Luco, you figured out yet?
You know what, I'm bouncing in between a couple of them. They're not super recent, but you know what, I you guys ever watched the, you know, I'll just go with this one. Have you ever watched the Masters of Horror? It was the TV show where they had a director did like an hour movie. And if you guys, I've watched every single one, and they all fucking suck. Every single one is terrible, except for John Carpenter's Cigarette Burns.
I was going to say.
That one is the best one. That's, I actually own that one and just that single one on DVD, because that one's awesome. It's about this guy trying to find this film, this fucking angel. It's sweet. I would check it out. Just that one. Don't watch any of the other ones, but Masters of Horror, John Carpenter's Cigarette Burns. Good stuff.
You know what? Underrated. Since Luco and I had the same one, I've just
thought. Wait, you had that?
I was going to say Hostel, and then you went on a fucking tirade.
Oh,
all
man.
Right.
I think you
were going to say Cigarette Burns, too?
All right. I'm going to say Human Centipede 2. Highly overrated.
You know, I watched the first one, and I just was like, I didn't watch the second one or the third one.
Same here.
The first one, I really enjoyed, but the second one was just, I think Pindy and I talked about it, it was just too much for the sake of too much.
I like Human Centipede 2.
I know you
do. What did I talk to you about that then? I don't remember.
Because, I don't know. I don't know. Especially after watching the first one, and the first one's so, like, the guy's prim and proper. And, like, he's, like, I mean, he's a doctor. Like, he's very to the T. I like that the second one's, like, some handicapped fucking dude who just lives with his mom and fucking gets pushed around by people and shit. And, like, fuck it. Bonk! And just decides to sell these people ass to mouth. Like, I mean, it's
Ass to ass.
And then he fucks it. Like, come on!
I did not see it, and now I really don't need to see it, I guess.
You need to see it.
Wait, Human Centipede? That's along the lines of the things you can't unsee, like Two Girls, One Cup, but
I think
he
the sews
them together
like
and
that.
Bangs the last one on the train?
On the second one.
Nice. Good for him. Good for him.
Have you seen the first one?
I've seen none of them.
Am I like the only one who's actually seen them?
I've seen the first and second. I haven't seen the third yet.
And also to say really
the
like,
third
I
one's
think
bad.
It's something I would follow that with, but okay.
I would say those are overrated. I won't even bother to see those.
No, see the first one for the sake of seeing it, because
listen,
man,
like,
the first one's really good. The first one is really enjoyable.
Really? Really enjoyable?
Yeah.
Really enjoyable. Because I'm not saying it's
the whole process
of
it is fucking brilliant.
He's like a mad scientist.
Yes.
Okay. Which, you know what reminded me a lot of it? Have you guys seen Tusk?
Yes.
That reminds me a lot of Human Centipede. It's like a mad scientist movie.
Well, Reanimator is, you know, kind of mad scientist.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. The Tusk.
Or, you know,
it's
what?
Basically
it's
like
you're right. It basically is, except there's fewer people. Because,
you know, there's scenes in Tusk where he's trying to teach him how to be a fucking walrus, and there's scenes in Human Centipede where he's teaching
how to walk,
how to feed, and how to shit and do all this crazy shit.
The best part is the fact when you realize the Asian guy has been holding it in.
What a trooper!
He says, "I'm so sorry," and he just lets it all.
Dude, he's got the best seat in the house. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he hooked up.
All right, my pick is Street Trash. Any of you guys heard of Street Trash before?
Only from you.
No one has seen Street Trash.
I have not.
Alright, it's a movie from the 80s, and it's about this liquor that's produced, and it's poisoned. It's called Viper. And this one guy, this liquor store owner, finds a crate of it, and he ends up selling each bottle for $1.
To bums, right?
To bums, yeah.
I have seen that movie.
Yeah, and they want to get all liquored up. But once they start drinking this liquor, their body starts to melt and morph and then sometimes just drip or explode.
Oh, wait, I did see this.
it's really low budget, but they did it very, very well.
Sounds like it'd be very short.
No, because then they mix in a bunch of different things. They mix in, mobsters.
Okay.
There's, a whole group of homeless people living in this junkyard. There's all these side stories of, like, this cop who beats the shit out of everyone. He's, like, one of the best parts. There's a Vietnam vet homeless guy who made a bone knife. And it's just so many different elements in this movie. It just make it, it's hilarious. So if you ever come across Street Trash, I definitely you should check it out. Yeah.
A little bit of reminds me when you were talking about the drink, it's like the stuff. People.
Yeah, well, it's the people end up being the stuff.
For a buck?
It's gory, too. The gore effects are great.
All right, I seriously think this is a conversation we're going to have to come back to at a later date also, because there's obviously 1,000 fucking movies.
Round two. Okay, so this last weekend, I went to a horror movie marathon at the Patio Theater here in Chicago, and it's 24 hours straight of horror movies from noon to noon.
Damn!
And I was lucky enough to go and meet some of the stars of some of the movies in there that were playing there. One of the movies is one of my favorites, was Dawn of the Dead, and Roger from Dawn of the Dead was there taking pictures and signing autographs, and of course, I totally geeked out and sweated all over him. Because he's an awesome part of that movie. Especially when he's in the wheelbarrow going through the mall. He's an awesome character. So, autographs and everything. Another movie that was playing there was Demons. It's another favorite of mine. It scared me as a kid, just like Dawn of the Dead did. But years later, I got to appreciate that movie a lot more. The actress who played Rosemary, Tony the Pimp's Ho. Her name's Dreda Dreda. I guess really nice. She has not aged a bit in 30 years. She still is just as beautiful as she is now than she was in Demons, which came out in 85. Really nice. Signed some stuff for me. Sweated all over her, too.
I'd be insulted if you didn't.
Yeah. And then I also, another movie on there was Gremlins 2, and that movie is just batshit nuts. And then the last movie I got to catch was They Live, and that's another favorite of mine.
Oh, yes.
So overall, it was cool. Those are the only movies I stuck around for. But I was a little disappointed in that they played these movies on Blu-ray. So the picture was really nice. And, well, one thing you have to know about the Patio Theater is it's just one big theater and a huge screen. It's an old-timey theater. There are just one screen, not a multiplex. And when they used to do these horror movie marathons, they would show 35mm prints. And I think that would make it a bit more nostalgic for people like me who have seen these movies on film and not just on Blu-ray and DVD. So that was a little disappointing, but I got to see these movies on the big screen. So next year should be the same thing, and if you're in the Chicago area, I'd definitely go to this. Meet famous people, buy some artwork. It's really, really cool.
Is there another one happening anywhere else?
There's the Music Box one, but I'm not into the movies as much as I was the ones that I was playing at the Patio Theater, The Massacre.
What other movies were playing at the Massacre?
Christine played. I didn't make it for that one. That was early in the morning. That was like 10 a.m., so I'd have to drive back, and wasn't going to stay the night there. I'll say it again. It was an old theater, so I'm sure there's a lot of critters running around. But it would have been cool if they did play Critters, which they didn't. The Descent, which is another one I enjoyed. I didn't make it for that. Vampiros Lesbos. I think that means lesbian vampires.
Nice.
Yeah. And that was a really obscure one. And there was a few others. I don't really remember which ones they are. But it was a really good lineup this year.
Now, do people actually, like, camp out there for the entire 24 hours?
Yes, they do. And what happens after they do that is they take a picture in front of the theater, all of them in their blankets and pillows, saying that I survived the massacre, which is they went through the whole 24 hours.
Jesus.
It's kind of crazy, but kind of cool.
Yeah. And some independent films and shorts were shown in between movies also. Local artists in Chicago and the nearby areas.
I watched a documentary called The Nightmare recently. It was done by the same guy who did, Room 237 or 232?
Oh, yeah. Right. It's in my queue on Netflix.
It's basically about sleep paralysis. It has moments of being really fucking creepy.
Oh, I saw
that. There we go. No, because like everyone's just staring at me blankly. I get one person. Yeah.
The Room 233 was about The Shining, right?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I don't know. Do you guys know what sleep paralysis is, right?
I actually had it for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
That's terrible.
It felt like my body was being abducted by aliens.
Wait, what?
Funny enough...
I haven't watched the movie yet either, so if someone else is...
Funny enough, there's something very similar to that.
Yeah.
One guy has probably one of the creepiest ones, and it's the one I'll give away. He says before he goes to sleep, like as he's falling asleep, he sees like a laser light show when he closes his eyes, like just a bunch of bright flashing lights. And he said at one moment he woke up. It was really hard to believe, but it sounded really creepy, so I'm saying that now. His phone rang. He picked it up, and it was some old guy on the other line, and he couldn't understand what the old guy was saying. The guy was saying, hello, 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 repeatedly. And when the guy finally heard him, he said that they had a little brief conversation. He says, I need you to do one thing. And, you know, the voice got all demonic and it said, let me in.
Oh, fuck and that.
It was kind of funny. It's a very funny visual. Because it shows, like, a slow motion shot of the guy, like, stunned. But then it looks like people are throwing, like, chips and shit at his face. To show, like, how everything's going crazy.
This is a documentary?
Yeah.
What is it called again?
The Nightmare.
On Netflix.
I don't have any real issues with it. The only thing is, when you watch it, they don't talk to, like, any doctor, psychologist, you know, neurologist, anything like that, or any sleep experts. They talk to these eight people. So...
what's their personal experiences?
Yeah, it's just personal experience. There's no, like, expert opinion behind it. So, that's kind of good, because it's not, like, a back-and-forth type debate movie. It's just... here's our shit.
So, the movie that I saw recently, which I think I brought up at least three times to each one of you, is Night Trap, Mardi Gras for the Devil. And it stars a little actor that Larry has seen recently, and all of you might be, recognize his name, Michael Ironside, who is, apparently one of the devil's minions who, sells his soul so he can trap horror souls in Mardi Gras every year. So there's a lot of boob counts in this one.
Yeah, nice.
And the hero of the movie is Robert Davi, who plays the cop who has his own demons to deal with. And it's a cat and mouse game between him and Michael Ironside. And many, many cameos of those actors you don't know their names of, but you're like, oh, it's that guy. Like that guy, Mickey Jones, who is always...
Character actor city.
Oh God, yes. And there's what they did not spend on their budget for any other effects. They spent on having people break windows open, and one giant explosion, well, mediocre explosion, and a 2x4 on fire apparently is enough to stop the devil. And that's all I'm gonna say. So check it out.
1993.
Yep.
All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I just saw Black Devil Doll from like 2011 or 12. It's fucking retarded. I would totally suggest that it's about this guy, and he gets... it's kind of like a Chucky scenario where he goes into this doll, but it's this black devil doll. And he just starts banging all these white babes. And there's a ton of titties. And,
oh, my.
It's real low budget, and it's real awesome. I would check it out, Black Devil Doll.
Wow. He's got hair like...
Oh, yes.
That's amazing. He looks like... oh, fuck.
Pindy, what you got?
I've been watching, I guess, well, the new American Horror Story just started, so I watched the first two episodes of that. It's all right. I mean, if you follow the series, it kind of reminds me of, like, the first season, where there's more of, like, how in the first season there's, like, the house, and there's different, like, time periods where they talk about shit that happens at the house. This is much more of where, it, like, there's a hotel, and there's different time periods of things happening at the hotel, while there's still, like, one main owner person, which is Lady Gaga.
That's a good point, though, you bring about how it's kind of like the first one.
I have not watched it yet.
Oh, yeah, I think that's the best one, because to me that is...
The first season?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Because to me that is the most, like, an actual, like, horror story. Like, I mean, the other ones are... Asylum, I like. I mean, to me, it wasn't as much of, like, a horror story. It was almost like a serial killer thriller. Like, it was... It still had horror aspects to it, of course, because it had, like... Aliens
and everything.
Yeah, that devil. Shit.
That was weird.
Yeah.
The quick, like, and then, aliens, and then you don't hear any more about that.
And then
Nazis and fucking...
Yeah. And it was a good thing Adam Levine loses an arm, like, getting a blowjob. So
fuck that guy. I think season two was the second best season.
Yeah. The third season, I watched a couple episodes and just didn't even bother to watch. Coven, I thought was terrible.
Yeah, not that
Coven
good.
Was not
the It had best. Some moments, but it was kind of the...
I mean, I hate to say it was kind of like a chick. I mean, it seemed kind of like it was...
Harley does not like that.
Right? Exactly. It seemed like it was very much centralized, like, around a womanly theme, and I don't know if maybe that's why I just wasn't really into it, but I couldn't get into the third season. Even Freak Show, I really couldn't get into Freak Show.
I thought Freak Show was the third best
season. I thought Freak Show was fun. The clown dude, like...
The clown dude was the best guy.
Yeah, and then you actually kind of felt bad for the clown dude.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's missing his whole face.
They made him look like a petter ass. He wasn't a petter ass. He loved the kids. He
loved to kill them, too.
Well, after, yeah. No, he didn't kill the kids. He killed everybody else.
You know, he did
a lot
of
things. There's just so many storylines.
That's
like
the thing.
That
there's a lot of storylines.
I feel like rather than how, again, like in the first one, I like how there's storylines that come up, but they end. Like, they do, like, the Black Dahlia murder, and it ends. It's, like, one episode, and they cover the murder, and maybe that spirit lingers around, but then you know why it lingers.
Yeah. It's more linear in the storytelling, and not so, like...
I think Freak Show got too much where it's, like, Michael Chiklis has a whole bunch of shit going on. How's he gonna deal with that? But then you got this weird, like, skinny... What's the reporter guy, or the guy who's...
Oh, yeah.
The guy who's trying to collect the freaks.
Oh, yeah.
I love that guy, though.
Can we just say the best character is that? This is Crab Boy Hands when he finger bangs all the fucking
He gets paid for the Tupperware parties. Fuck. I let him finger bang some stuff over there.
That's just...
I let him moose knuckle all the shit out of that.
Has that dude been in any movies yet, either?
He's been in one movie that came out, I think, 2 years ago. Oh, shit, what is it?
Doggy Butt.
Dog Butt. I have to look it up, because he did do, right after the second season, he did a horror movie that was PG-13. Oh, fuck.
Dog is not happy with something.
It's because he was talking about that being a chick season.
She wants to go outside, but only so she can get a treat. She doesn't care about that.
While you're thinking, Michelle, I'll say this. One thing I did not like about Freak Show was, instead of giving, you know, some of the side characters an ultimate ending, they just killed them all off.
But it turned out to be a happy... whatever.
It turned out to be...
Well, the thing is, that's what I like about it, is that everybody gets fucked, pretty much. Like, everyone's, you know, you can't have a favorite character and then think that they're going to be okay.
They all kind of had that ending, though.
The Lazarus Effect.
Oh, I just saw that.
I saw that, yeah.
Wait, he wasn't in the Lazarus Effect?
Evan Peters?
What?
Oh, he was in, like, X-Men.
Yeah, he was the was Silver.
Kick-Ass.
I mean...
Kick-Ass? The second one?
He's in Kick-Ass.
Sorry.
Ah, fancy pants.
But yes, the Lazarus Effect is what I was thinking about. So.
Thank you, everybody. Before we go, I do want to give a special thanks to my interviewee, Johnny Krug. He's actually been really helpful. And thank you again, Krug and Kruger Nation.
Hopefully we hear from you again.